Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's going on, guys? It's your boy Dylan at ThunderChats here, coming to you on behalf of our sponsor, betonline.ag. Being this is a Believe Podcast Network, we've got to go to the one tried and true constant sponsor of BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info and odds. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's odds for the Masters Championship and the start to the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so join today. Learn why everyone is saying BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on popular sports and games. BetOnline, where the game starts. I know I messed up, but I'm keeping it in. Hope you guys enjoy the pod.
Guys, Dylan, once again from the future, once again on the first watch. Just brief explanation, our pod ended up being so long that we decided to split it in two for you guys. Last pod we talked about the end of the season, what it means for the tank, and then we talked about our big board, the draft prospects, and, you know, players that we might have, you know, the 15 spot with the Clippers pick, stuff like that. In this pod, we're opening up with a tie Washington conversation. You know, the guys asked me my opinion on that because I'm such a huge UK fan. And we bleed right into Twitter questions. We cover a lot of stuff in this. So, hope you guys enjoy it. Appreciate your continued support. And Thunder up.
All right, boys. Well, hey.
I do have one question, though, on this before we get into Twitter questions. Because he's a Kentucky guy, how do you feel about Washington? And where is he going to fall? Should he even consider coming back next year?
He's already declared. But no,
I didn't realize he actually declared.
But. Yeah, no, he declared, I'm pretty sure.
With an agent, right?
Yeah, he signed an agent. It's like he said at the end of the year, or he said today or yesterday, I can't remember. He said at the end of the year, he was nowhere near, like, 100%. Like, some games he felt good, but, like, that Auburn game where he, like, really messed up his ankle, he was never really able to bounce back from that in terms of his high level of play. So, you know, he definitely left a bad taste in people's mouths. I personally think he's still not ready, in terms of scoring. You know, he's already undersized. He doesn't play a lot of defense. The thing that sucks is he was played out of position at Kentucky. You know, that's not something new that Cal does. He puts players out of their comfort zone so they can learn to be better at other areas, so they can be more complete players. Like, that's not anything different. But, you know, that's probably going to be the position in the NBA is being a point guard. And we only have one game sample size for how he was successful with that. He had 18 assists. I'll give him that. But it was against, like, you know, like somebody in like the MAC or the WAC or, you know, one of those conferences or something like that. So I think he could have benefited from coming back, but he's still probably projected to be a lottery pick. He's probably a guy that could go on, you know, just, I guess, looking at Tankathon, like the Pelicans could probably use a guy like him, a guy that can go out there and get a bucket, you know, be a microwave off the bench, initiate the offense, something like that. Like he probably still has a role in the NBA, but I think that he has to fill out his body a little bit more. He has to, you know, lock in more defensively. But in terms of like his shooting, like he's got a silky smooth stroke, and I think he's got a, you know, solidly high basketball IQ. It's just everything else he's really got to fine tune.
I tell you, man, like when you give him any other prospect, it's like a one or two sentence blur. But when you give him a Kentucky prospect,
well, I know more about him.
He's going to give you the biblical reference of their life at Kentucky. Like
blood types, like six cousins, family trees, genealogy,
how long their
Achilles tendon is.
Why don't you have a UK podcast?
Oh, bro, I don't got time for that. Honestly, I'm not even as into UK as much as I used to be. Like before Thunder basketball, like – all my Thunder energy used to be UK energy. I knew about recruits coming in like 2 years from now. I knew about like, you know, graduate transfers, all that crap. So like, yeah, this is where my energy is, guys. I'm Thunder Chats for a reason. I'm not Wildcat Chats, okay? It doesn't sound as good.
Definitely doesn't.
Yeah, but no, I mean, and also, like I said, I haven't fully dived in. Like I haven't talked to, you know, all the draft guys or anything like that. Like I have my eye test, I have, you know, somewhat general consensus of what people are feeling, and that's about it. Like I watched up close and personal Ty Washington, Oscar Tshiebwe, you know, that's it. Those are the UK draft guys. So
yeah, so if your name was Wildcat Chats, you'd probably lose to a 15 seed.
All right, so we asked for Twitter questions. And you guys showed up.
I like it. I like it. Do.
And so I'm not going to try to order these in any shape or fashion because I'm just trying to change the subject. At Sarah Rebuild asked, who's your sleeper team for the playoffs? Who surprisingly gets bounced first round? God, why did that have to transition perfectly in what Jerry just talked about? Okay. And also, what's the best case scenario for Russ to end up? My sleeper team for playoffs is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Ooh.
I like how they're playing. They're playing together. They're playing nasty. They're playing with some tenacity on the defensive end.
The Patrick Beverly effect.
Patrick Beverly, Jerry Vanderbilt. You know, shout out BBN. Cat stepping up. Ant's playing great. D-Lo's playing good.
Anthony Edwards. Edwards.
Like they got some hoopers, man. I'm just saying, watch out for them. I'm not saying they're going to come out of the West or anything like that, but I'm saying they could, you know, push a team that's unexpected to like seven games or something like that. They could play spoiler. So, yeah, I got the T-Wolves.
I got the Mavs. I think they can make the finals.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, if they peak at the right time, that team's so dangerous, it's stupid. And they just have enough young, stupid guys that can make it happen. It's just, it's weird like that. And I hate the Mavs so much, but God, Luka's so good.
All right, Moles, what about you, man?
Can I have two? Can I pick one in each conference?
We make our own rules, Moles. Go ahead.
All right. So you pick the four seed in the West. I'll take the current four seed in the East. Philly, I just think that Embiid could take over. I think that they could figure stuff out. It could be a really interesting path for them. If they beat Toronto, I think that, you know, Miami doesn't want any part of them. I think that Philly would be able to match up well with them. That could be a very, very dangerous run. Obviously, I know a lot of people are going to say Brooklyn and all that, like whatever. And then in the West, man, Denver, like, if there's potential that they could get Murray back, right, in the playoffs. And if they get Jamal Murray back, like that's such a shot in the arm. I mean, that's a top 20 player. And when he's on fire, that's a top 10, top 8 type of player. I mean, just remember last year when him and Mitchell were going at it in that series. Like, who's dropping 50 tonight, you know?
In the bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's like being able to give Jokic that type of support, that Denver team. And granted, before the season started, I picked the Warriors to win the finals. I still think the Warriors could if Curry could come back healthy and all that. But, man, that Nuggets squad right now, they're the sixth seed. If they can avoid the play-in and all that stuff, and they're a dangerous squad, especially if they could get healthy.
Yeah, and as far as the Nuggets go, you know, I know Murray might be coming back, but wasn't Michael Porter Jr. slated to be coming back soon? Or did he have a setback?
He had a setback.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Now let's see here. Oh, no, those are just questions. Yeah, because I remember there was a report in February. Woj reported that he was clear for on-court contact and he was eyeing a March return. Obviously, it's April, so like, well, there must have been some kind of setback. I'm just wondering, you know, how much of a setback it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know. A lot of people are talking about, you know, a full-strength Clippers team, but, like, a full-strength Nuggets team could give the Warriors, who Curry's not playing right now. I don't know if he's even going to be back in the first round. Draymond hasn't been the same since he came back from injury. Klay hasn't been the same since he's come back from injury. Like, the Nuggets could seriously give the Warriors some problems, even if Michael Porter Jr. doesn't come back. And they just have Jamal Murray back, Jokic, Aaron Gordon, you know, all the role players, you know, pitching in, like –
Will Barton. I mean, yeah, they're no Denver is my next pick for sure.
All right, Denver is my next pick. So we're talking about teams getting first rounded. Like, I think that I'm going Denver Warriors. I guess that's where Jerry's going to. Anybody else have another team that might get first rounded, like a surprise first rounded?
Dang, I just got skipped. Dang.
Well, I said anybody else. Go ahead, Alex. Come on, man. Oh, did I not say?
No, I'm talking about my surprise team.
Oh, what you're sleeping in, man? I'm sleeping.
My sleeper is, I mean, Thunder fans are going to want to hear this, but it's the Clippers. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, this, yeah, I know, but, you know, you get Paul George back, you get, you know, Norman Powell back, you get, you know, you still have that entire squad of veterans that kept that team afloat for the majority of the second half of the season. Even if you have a little spark of, hey, Kawhi might come back, I think that's enough to propel them to, you know, if they mess around and let's say they win the first round play-in game and they're the number seven seed, they're going to play who, Memphis? Memphis is their playoff neophytes.
Right now.
You know, they're playoff neophytes. They're playoff newbies. And so, you know, they get into a seven-gamer against the Clippers. You know, say what you want to say, but this is like when teams went to the bubble, like for instance, a lot of people talk about the title that the Lakers won in the bubble. A big reason for the title, you know, a big reason for why the Lakers were able to win that is because Anthony Davis had like 4 months off that he was able to rest and recoup. LeBron had like 4 months off in between, you know, the regular season and the bubble that he was able to rest and recoup. Paul George has had like 4 months off. Norman Powell has had like 3 months off. Like, these guys are going to be fresh, a lot fresher than anybody else that they're playing against. And so, you know, they do, you know, everything is in line for them to surprise some people and not necessarily surprise themselves because they know they're a good team, but surprise some people based on their seeding. So they're my surprise team.
I mean, Alex, I definitely see that, you know, even if they draw Phoenix, how do we know that Chris Paul is going to be really ready and he's going to be up to snuff in a series against them? If they get all those guys back, like Kawhi, if they make it to that spot, Kawhi could very much just like be like, okay, I play, you know, Apple man, Apple time, let's go.
Why'd you make him sound like Vlade Divac?
I know.
Take this man from the trade machine.
I don't know, man. Like, I can't
talk to him. I like it.
A fun guy. So, like, I think, like, honestly, we could be at an eight upsetting one spot again. Like,
yeah,
back in the old school days. So I don't know, man. I think the Clippers are dangerous. I think, Alex, that's a shrewd pick.
Yeah, they got to get past my Timberwolves first. So anyways, let's move on here to the our first round upset. So me and Jerry picked Nuggets Warriors. Just try to be quick with this to finish this out. Moles, who you got? Alex, who you got?
Go ahead, Moles.
Go ahead first, Alex. I've gone first every time.
So I think, you know, if Brooklyn gets a seventh seed, or if Brooklyn gets the eighth seed, I could see Brooklyn, you know, first rounding Miami easily.
Yep.
Well, yeah, especially with Kyrie being able to play at home. Like that's the biggest, you know, boost out of any team right now going into the playoffs. So
and then Ben Simmons comes back.
Yeah, but Miami, you know, last quarter of the season, they've had a couple hiccups here and there, especially with team chemistry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, team chemistry shows its head in the playoffs very, very brightly. And so, you know, we'll see if that blow up that they had a couple weeks ago, if that's something that they were able to kind of get over, or if that's something that's still lingering in that locker room.
That, and they've been featured back-to-back days on Pirtle, so just got to throw that out there.
Yeah, I
would certainly want to play Miami over Milwaukee.
Yeah, definitely. In agreement
there? Yeah.
Oh yeah, you don't got to play
the one seed over the over the two seed.
All right, Moles, who you got?
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Brooklyn. All right,
and I think Brooklyn could first round either one of them. So, you know, if they win the first day, you know, they're the number seven seed, so they play Milwaukee. I think they can first round them. I think Brooklyn is a wild card. You know, we haven't seen, you know, Durant and Kyrie playing too much this season. I think they're definitely a wild card.
All right. At JPMCD711, Joshua McDonald, he says, Wendy's staying in OKC. We've already addressed this, so just wanted to, you know, recognize your question. So we definitely talked about that earlier, but moving on. At OKC Celtics says, where do you project this team to stand lottery wise next season? I've literally started every question since we started the pod tonight, so I'm gonna go to Jerry because we haven't heard from you in a second.
Yeah, probably not in the lottery.
Woo!
Bold take. And
yeah, well, and that's just, there's a lot of variables that go into that, so that's something that I think whenever, you know, people say certain things like this, it's under a lot of different conditions. So one of those big conditions is everybody plays the whole season. So if we stay healthy, I don't see this team being in the bottom five in the West, especially with some of the moves that could potentially shake up the West this year. I mean, there's Donovan Mitchell rumors, there's Lakers, you know, are going to have to make some big moves here. The Clippers, they don't have everything in the bag yet. So the Blazers are blazing the wrong way. I think that this team could, not end up in the lottery.
That is bold, my friend. But all right, yeah. I like it. Maddie Moles, what you got?
Yeah, I think we're hovering around the play-in. I think we're around like the 9-10 seed next year. We certainly have a way to go get somebody if we want to at the draft before the calendar year turns. We have to use that cap space soon. Otherwise, we're going to not have any because of Walker. And then, of course, SGA's extension kicks in. So that's huge. But I think like 9-10 range next year is where we're going to be if everybody stays quote-unquote healthy, yeah. Right? If we don't if we don't just pack it in. And I think we're going to be competitive. I think, you know, we'll be in an 82 game season, I think we'll be hovering around 32-33-ish to 37-38 wins, maybe on the high side. So somewhere in there, depending on how things fall.
All right, what about you, Alex?
I think we hover around the 6-7-8 mark, you know, like not in the playoffs, in the reverse.
So I think that's where I also lean as well. Just short and sweet and to the point. That's where I lean too. So moving on to at 10th Manning. I guess that's how you say it. Why did it take Trey so long to get verified on Twitter?
10th man on, probably.
No, it's got an IM, sir. Thank you. I can read.
I mean, as Giddy said, you got to be able to hit the free throw to get that 30. You know what I mean?
30 piece.
Can we just talk about for a second how, like, Thunder Twitter banded together and, like, made this happen?
Yeah.
It was like, this is an outrage. Like, everybody was at and Twitter. And, like, within, like, the next day, he got verified. And he even thanked.
That,
like,
same day.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't thank Thunder Twitter specifically. He just said, thanks, Twitter fam. So, you know, we'll take that as thank you, Thunder Twitter. And you're welcome, Trey, man. Daggone it. Sticking with Trey, man, here's a question from RJ Orozco. Anyways, why have I always felt like Aaron Wiggins was a taller Trey man? Sir, I don't have answers for you. They're not similar at all in their looks and their play style, anything like that. I'm sorry. I just can't get behind you on this one. Guys, what do you think?
I mean, I think it might be the Dort Derek Favors thing where, like, you know, they kind of look, you know, one looks like a giant version of the other one.
Yeah, but one's tatted to the max. One's got the blonde patch in his head.
Oh yeah, I know.
Come on, man.
Hey, when you're sitting in Loud City, you can't see those details, man. Maybe he's sitting in Loud City.
Okay. Maybe. I'm sure you've watched the game on your TV though when you see him. So all right. Let's see here. Let's go to @Shea_media.
Go ahead, Maddie.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Maddie. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I don't know if you guys listen to Bobby Marks like team overview for the offseason or whatever, but he highlighted the Thunder and he mentioned Trey Mann as a core piece of the Thunder. He did not mention Pokuševski, even though he was on the graphic. So he said that we had the four guys, you know, Shea, Dort, Giddy, and Trey Mann. So pretty big getting a core piece of our team there in the late teens in the draft. So Trey Mann is that dude. I just thought I would throw that out there. And worth a listen if you guys wanted a little primer into the offseason for the Thunder. Bobby Marks on YouTube.
Handshake emoji, me and Bobby Marks believing in Trey Mann. just held up a handshake for those of you that don't know. So @Shea_media asks, when did the Thunder really first to start rebuild? Now this, he doesn't mean like the KD rebuild. He means like, you know, this iteration of the rebuild. So let's go to Alex here. Alex, when do you think the Thunder first started rebuilding?
So you said it. I'm gonna go ahead and go with it. July 4th, 2016.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, like everybody, like I understand. You know, nobody wants to point. You know, we had those couple of seasons with Russ, and they were pretty good. Russ and PG, they were pretty good. And then we had the surprise season with Chris Paul. But I think once Kevin left, I think everything was put in motion to start to get to the point where we're at now. Even though we got PG and we re-signed PG, as we now know, we re-signed PG with the caveat of, hey, if it doesn't work out, let us know and we can go ahead and trade you to somebody that has a lot of assets. And they kind of knew that once that domino fell, the next domino, Russell Westbrook, was going to fall also. And so I think the rebuild itself, if we're going to point to a point in time where it started, was July 4th, 2016.
All right. Hey, I like it. I like the take. Has anybody got a different take?
I'm going to say the Paul George trade is that big fat elephant in the room that, you know, really just pushed that forward. I don't think that we were trying to rebuild. You know what I mean?
That fat two in the morning elephant.
Yeah, I think
three in the morning for me, sir.
Yeah, I think the opposite was actually going to happen. I think that if Paul George, you know, stuck around and Russ stuck around, you know, with a few of those other pieces that we had, that, you know, Sam was probably going to go all in and really shove some chips in the middle to make that team happen and to bring in some different pieces. I mean, hell, he even tried to pull some like weird stuff. You know, we had a Morris brother on our team for a little bit, which was just weird as hell. I mean, we had Melo on the team for a little bit, weird as hell. Like he was trying to do some different things with that. So I think the Paul George trade is definitely what was like, yeah, here comes the tank. And then just the Chris Paul season was just like a, oops, did I do that type of thing. Definitely think that that's when it officially started the rebuild.
Yeah, before like Moles go, just because you said that, I was going to say the Chris Paul trade really for me because, you know, we thought the rebuild was coming like right away, you know, once first the Paul George trade. Then I think the Jeremy Grant trade was next.
Yep.
And then after that, it was the Russell Westbrook trade. And, you know, from there we had Steven Adams, you know, we brought in Shea, we had Chris Paul, like, you know, we wasn't expecting a lot. We expected Chris Paul to do a lot of load management. We didn't think Shea would be as good as he was, like all these different factors. And, you know, then they surprised us. We was better than anybody expected, any of the fan bases expected. And, you know, we went to the playoffs. We honestly were in position to win game 7, despite how terribly we played. You know, Lou Dort is one shiny moment with the, you know, 30 something points in the playoff game in game 7 there. But yeah, I think that, you know, after that season, when we traded Chris Paul to the Suns, we traded Schroeder to the Lakers. And, you know, we traded Steven to the Pelicans. Like, we really broke up the core pieces of that team and, you know, made it Shea and the young guys. And I think that was really when the rebuild started.
See, I think the rebuild started July 4th, 2016. I think the tank started when we traded Chris Paul.
It's fair. Fair. Little verbiage difference. I understand. Moles, do you have any different answers than what we just gave?
No, and I think that Presti saw this path and knew what these pivot points were going to be and knew when to put pressure on different avenues for us. So to get guys that you knew that you could be able to rehabilitate and to basically recoup assets for, I think that Presti kind of knew that this was coming even before the party in OKC when Paul George signed his extension and Brian Windhorst almost fainted on national television when they were doing the free agency thing on ESPN. Like, what, 4 years? Yeah. Or whatever. Like, so I think that Presti knew all this was coming then. I think that's very interesting. Alex, I'd like to challenge the thought though, because we did extend Oladipo and Steven Adams to pretty large deals that seemed at the time to be immovable. So like, that seems like it was the first crater like to start, but like, I don't know, like that to me felt like he was still wanting to go all in and just build around Russ. And it wasn't a rebuild moment. It was a retool moment, as Champagne Jerry has on the deal with it sunglasses right now in the chat.
That's exactly what they are. Just deal with it. I don't know. No, I think that the Chris Paul thing was a complete accident, to be honest with you. I thought it was just a complete accident. So, yeah. Chris Paul George trade is definitely what did it. Screw you guys and your opinions.
The Chris Paul George trade, famously. All right.
Yes.
At Shay underscore step asks, how do you see Dort with this team if BPA are players like Sharp, Ivy, and Griffin? So basically he's saying if it comes to the position, if we add a Shaden Sharp, Jaden Ivy, or AJ Griffin to the team, how do we see Lou Dort's fit? You know, if you add those guys in your guards or one of those guys, Shay, Giddy, Trey Mann, and Dort, like, do you think that, you know, Dort's still there, or like, you know, what do you guys think on that? I'm gonna go Moles first here.
Well, no, then I'll go.
Wow, Moles, your voice has changed tremendously.
Yeah, it's definitely way sexier. To me, Lou Dort's still untouchable. Like, the skill set that guy has, these young guys aren't going to be able to replicate. Like, I just don't see it. Lou Dort's here to stay. Deal with it.
Okay, so Moles, we get AJ Griffin, Shaden Sharp, Jaden Ivey. Is Dort expendable, or do you think he still fits on the team?
I think that Dort is probably not in the cards for us long term, regardless of those guys. And this is why I say that. He's going to command.
Because you're stupid. That's why.
He's going to command 17, 18 million a year, probably, for his extension, right? Unless, well, it's what, 4 for 58? Is that what the thing is if we pick things up and we keep him? But if we don't pick up options and he goes into free agency, like, who knows how big that could get?
No.
I just don't know if we're going to be able to make the salaries work, because this year sucks for us salary cap wise. This next year, but it frees up after that. So if we want to maintain flexibility, I think the fact that we ended up with Giddy actually is more of a detriment to Dort than anything else, just because of where the positional fit is going to be long term. Dort eventually, if we hit on these stars, right, Dort might be like a bench player. And what Dort provides us the most isn't that off the bench. So I don't know. I think that the fit's already started to work itself out. And that sucks because I love Dort. But a lot of what he provides you with this scoring punch, and they're trying to throw me off with all the things in this video. His scoring punch of late has required him to be a ball handler and be a facilitator on offense and all of those things. And that just doesn't fit with Giddy and Shay long-term, because those guys require the ball.
Jerry, before you pop the blood vessel, hold on.
I got you.
So I understand both sides. Like, I think that if there's like a trade that you can't pass up and they're asking for Lou Dort, like, yeah, like, Dort's expendable. But I think that, like, you know, like you were saying, like, you don't want a player Dort's value coming off your bench. Marcus Smart came off the bench for the Celtics for years, and he provides a lot of, you know, what Lou Dort could provide both on defense and offense. You know, maybe Dort's an even better shooter than Marcus Smart at that point. You know, obviously, you know, we have a guy like Trey Mann coming off the bench, and, you know, the offense is going to move more through him. But Dort's shown that he can play a little bit off ball as well. So I do think that there's still room for him, you know, if he was moved to the bench as kind of like, you know, a sixth man, like defensive stopper, you know, a guy that doesn't necessarily start games but closes a lot of games for his defense. But at the same time, I'm completely open to moving him if it means, you know, we like say hypothetically we get Jaden or Jabari Smith Jr., but we really like Shaden Sharp. And you know, there's a team that's like, you know, we'll give you this pick, so you take Shaden Sharp, but you got to give us Lou Dort and pick 30. Sorry, Dort's gone in my eyes.
So many different options here, right? So many what ifs here, and I'm sorry, Moles. Like, the narrative with him, like, oh man, you know, he has to be ball dominant. You know, how's he gonna fit with those other guys? Can we look at the freaking lineups that he was ball dominant in and what he was having to do during those times? I mean, let's add the right context to this, because that's what everyone's trying to like look at just his raw numbers and not understand, like, really and truly, if you look at like most of his time with the team, right? He's been on lineups that have been no stars with him or very little stars with him for most of the season, other than, you know, the Chris Paul season, right? Next year, Shea was out pretty much the whole year. Didn't have anybody else, all right? Giddy and Shea were hurt at the same time for those couple weeks whenever Lou was, like, just hooping and just putting up, you know, 20-something shots a game. So I think there's a lot of context to be said there with that. And I think that with Dort's skill set, and Dylan, I think you said this probably the best way or better than what I could, is he has a lot of value, maybe not as a starter, but he has a lot of value in closing games and just being that top, you know, that point of attack defender. And then I think about the other piece of it, which is his contract. All right. Everyone's always talking about his contract. He's not going to get more than like 13, 14 million a year. He's not in today's market. He just won't. I just don't see it. If you just look at the way that players like him have been scaled down over the last couple of seasons, you know, since that new CBA, they've been right about in that area. They haven't been closer to that 20 mil range or anything higher than that. So that's my piece on it. That's why I almost had an aneurysm. I'm sorry, but I'm just very, 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 you know me, I freaking love Dort.
Love Dort and you hope he's doing well.
He's that good.
I agree, but let me maybe counter with this. So I think that you may be underselling him. Dort as a free agent, where would you rank Dort as a free agent compared to where Jeremy Grant was as a free agent when he chose to go to Detroit?
I would personally have him under Jeremy Grant.
But Jeremy Grant got the bag. He got a big bag.
It wasn't because of his time with the Thunder. The reason why he got that bag is
that's not what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, he was on the Nuggets when he got paid. Yeah.
And it's a very similar type of role, right? Like paying him based on potential, what he could be if he got a bigger role. I think that they're in a similar arc for where Dort would be in that next deal as a free agent compared to where Jeremy Grant was as a free agent. Yes, the Nuggets wanted him back. He wanted a bigger role, though. He was going to get the bag regardless from one of those two teams. Yeah, I think that $13 million a year is selling it under his value. I think it's closer to 16, 17, maybe even $18 million a year.
I don't see it.
Not yet. And I think it goes back to the conversation, like, you know, and we'll close this part with this because we do have a couple more questions need to get to, and we've almost gone 2 hours. So I think it also goes back to what we talked about with the draft. Like, you know, there's guards and there's bigs all over the NBA. Like, you can sign usable guards, usable bigs in the NBA. The wing position is the position that's coveted. And I think that's ultimately why Jeremy Grant got the bag like he did, because they might play, you know, quote unquote, the same role for each team. The difference being Jeremy Grant was on a winning team, but Jeremy Grant's 6'10", Lou Dort 6'3". Like, Jeremy Grant's a forward, he's a wing, Lou Dort's a guard. Like, you know, they offer different things, and what Jeremy offers is, teams covet that more than what, you know, Dort might offer. I'm not saying that Dort's not going to command like a strong market, because he very well could. I think there's a lot of teams that like to have a guy like Lou Dort, but I don't think, you know, it's as night and day as it may seem on the surface. But, kind of moving on in here. So Key, I think his name's Keenan as well, but at OKC Wins, he actually asked the question, keeper trade Dort. I think we covered that in extensiveness right there. He talked about most underrated prospect fit wise for this team. I think we pretty much covered that when we was talking about our big board discussion and stuff like that. one free agent you love to see the Thunder go after this summer. I don't think we're in position to be signing free agents at this point, but I'm just going to say bring Hami and Kevin Knox to play with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Make it happen. Reunite the seven. Or the five, I guess. We still need Vando and PJ Washington. And then lastly, is the new Batman overrated? Have you guys seen the new Batman movie?
No, I don't watch
it. Pretty good. I like it.
Alex chimes in for the Batman. yeah, no, I liked it. Spoilers, or yeah, if you haven't seen it, wait, you guys haven't seen it. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say the movie was too long. I think that they could have cut it at a specific point and it would have been a near perfect movie. I think that they kept it dragging on, added unnecessary things, and it took away from, you know, the first two thirds of what was a really good movie. So that's what I got to say about it.
Yeah, I didn't mind too much about the time. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say last movie I saw at the theater was the Jackass Forever movie, and it was fantastic. It was perfect in the way it was.
So. Oh, let me tell you.
If you get a chance, go get that one in your life.
Let me tell you. So I'm not a huge like wrestling fan, but like this weekend, you know, my brother-in-law, Anthony, you know, original member of the pod.
Montero.
Montero. He had WrestleMania. And so it was a Saturday and Sunday event. And on Sunday, I believe it was Sunday, might have been Saturday, they had the Johnny Knoxville was fighting somebody. And, like, man, all Sammy the shenanigans. Zane. Yeah, Sami Zayn. All the shenanigans that he did on there, that was hilarious, man. That was good. He had the big hand slap Sami Zayn. He had, Sami Zayn being slammed into a table full of mouse catchers, and It was all good, man. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I just kind of stick on that. Just got to shout out my boy Pat McAfee, putting on. Been following Pat
McAfee. Put on a show, man.
Yeah, been following McAfee ever since he was at Barstool. So he's a electric factory. He's one of my favorite guys in the entertainment business.
Got the Stone Cold Stunner.
Yeah, it was an honor. He took the beer shower and got the stunner. So yeah. Shout out McAfee. All right, we just got a couple more questions here, guys. We'll just make this really quick. Zach Segrist, I think is his name, one, says player comp for Sharp, what's the ceiling? I'm just going to say I think his ceiling's high. If you go to NBADraftRoom.com, they actually have player comps, and what their comp was is Brandon Roy. So I don't know, you know, there's a lot of people who don't remember Brandon Roy. Brandon Roy was a killer. Brandon Roy was one of my favorite players to watch in the NBA. Obviously, his career got cut short because of his knee issues. But if we was able to draft a Brandon Roy, I would not be mad in the slightest. What do you guys got?
Be okay with that.
What do you guys got for a Sharp comp from what you've seen of his high school day?
he looked like a good player. I mean, he's out there dominating high school. I mean, that's what I see on the tape. Like, I can't really, as far as making that, doing a player comp for somebody that's in high school, it's kind of difficult to extrapolate what's going on in high school versus what will happen in the NBA. But I mean, what I see is a guy that's 6'5", 6'6". He's able to, you know, he's able to get to his spots. He's able to shoot. He's able to get to the rim. He's athletic, you know, so. But they're usually pretty good, you know, pretty good starters for a player that's going to be pretty good in the NBA.
And Brandon Roy was a thick boy. Like he was built, and he was able to take a little bit of punishment too, even as a shorter guy compared to who he was taking it in on. Like Roy and Odin could have been a thing if health would have not gotten away. Like Damian that could have been there too. There was a timeline where that Blazers squad was going to be really, really good. Like, you know, you talk about health and all that, like that's obviously a thing that plays a role, but Brandon Roy, I think, is a very interesting comp. I'm interested to see what like the workouts and stuff are going to be when he gets into one-on-ones and all that stuff against guys in the draft lead up. And to hear what that looks like. but that's interesting.
I think if he just does workouts, like, and if he like really wants to, like, you know, pursue the draft and he like goes to workouts, he's like, there's definitely gonna be a team that falls in love with him, like maybe at the five spot. Like, I mean, who knows? There might be somebody that likes him more than Jaden Ivey, because his game's made for workouts. Like, he's a guy that can go out there and just shoot the crap out of the ball, and he's a guy that can jump out of the gym. Like, that's all you need to see in, you know, individual workouts. So I think he would be great at that. But moving on to our next question here, we've got – okay, last one here. So at – the last one on Twitter, we have one guy that asked us a Reddit question. At Ethan SGA Clack says, who do you think will make the finals? And let's just make this quick so we can move on to the Reddit question. I got Suns, Bucks repeating. What do you guys got?
Yep. With a different result.
Oh, the Suns pull it out. Chris Paul gets the monkey off his back. Devin Booker becomes a winning player. DeAndre Ayton says, I need a max. Okay, I like it.
I'm sticking with it. I got Warriors over Bucks.
Okay. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go bold here. I'm going to stick with my preseason prediction. I think the Lakers are going to really come together and put together a run. All right. So on
lowered expectation.
Yeah. So on Reddit, 2007 was the bestest, says, what does the 2022-23 season look like for us? We kind of covered that already. He also says, who's on the top of your draft board this summer? We literally just did a draft board. So the last question we have not talked about, the Utah Jazz may be blowing up this summer. Should the Thunder be looking at any pieces to add to the team from Utah if everyone becomes available? And I think there's one name that we're all thinking here, and that's Donovan freaking Mitchell.
Spider. Let's go.
Spider-Man's always been my favorite superhero. So, hey, let's bring him on. Yeah, mix a little Kentucky-Louisville guard play.
So if we're going to be trying to get somebody off of Utah without expending too much capital, why not Bogdanovich
instead of Mitchell, or in addition to Mitchell?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, no. Well, I mean, so Mitchell is the golden calf. You know, he's the we want that. But I mean, he's going to take so many assets. Like, he's going to take at least 4 or 5 draft picks, and God knows they're going to ask for Giddy in return. You know, so getting Bogdanovich may not take that much. It may take just literally 1 or 2 firsts, and bad firsts at that, and then maybe, like, you know, give him back Utah's favorite son, Derek Favors.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea, you know, especially if, like, you know, Mitchell forces his way to the Knicks or something like that, and it just becomes a fire sale. You know, that could be a way that you could pick up Bogdanovich and also pick up a Nikhil Alexander Walker, you know, bring the cousins back together. You know, cousins.
We definitely don't want Gobert, right? Like, even if we don't fall right here in the draft,
nah, bro,
I'm not interested in his skill set at 5.
I want a guy that can play in the playoffs.
Well, and I want a guy that can shoot a little bit. Like, I mean, Duren, you know, for his upside, like, could potentially help us without a jump shot. But, like, I ideally would like to be able to have a center that can shoot. Like,
he'll be 30. Like, Gobert will be 30 by the time the draft hits.
That's also an interesting point. Bogdanovich, man, that's a very interesting thought. I haven't even given that much consideration. That's a way that you can get into, like, kind of semi-push chips in to say we're trying to be competitive.
Yeah.
And sticking with that thought process, somebody I forgot to mention that I wouldn't mind grabbing at that 15 pick, Christian Braun out of Kansas. Dude's just – knockdown shooter, you know, really showed out in the championship and in the tournament. So I don't know if he goes as high as 15. I've seen him as high as 15. I've seen him as high as 30 or as low as 30. So, you know, that's another guy. Like, you know, we talk all the time. We need more shooting. We need shooting around Shea. We need shooting around Giddy. Like, you know, that's an archetype that you need. There's plenty of ways to get it, whether it's in free agency or in the draft. Or, you know, like we just said, by trade. Like, so, you know, let's make it happen.
It really feels like 10 through 30 is pretty flat in this draft class.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of draft people say, like, from 15 to 35, it's like, it's like, if you pick this guy at 15, cool. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun. But, you know, guys, we've been going a little over 2 hours now. Like, we covered all kinds of crap. We covered the rest of the Thunder season. We covered other teams. We covered the draft. We covered Kentucky basketball. We covered Batman.
Extensively Kentucky basketball.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. So, this is where we bid our adieus. I just want to thank our listeners for, you know, listening to us and, you know, continuing their love and support, you know, showing out on their questions, both on Twitter and Reddit. I want to thank Alex, Maddie Moles, and Jerry for coming on the pod with me for 2 hours on a Thursday evening. And want to say, hope you all have a great night. God bless. Wear a mask when you need to. Vaccinate if you have not. Hoop when you can. I won't be able to hoop this weekend because my wife's taking the kids to the Lego Land in Ohio. So I'll be on Nova.
Hey, dude. Nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun for them. You know, it'd be cool to chill in Nova, but no hooping for me. So get back at it next week. But, you know, like I said, guys, hoop when you can. And as always, most importantly,
Thunder up!
Thunder up!
Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to the Top of Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.